Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-step radio show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. The stories you're about to hear are real. It's a 12-step meeting on the air, so kick back, grab a cup of coffee and listen in. In case you ever wondered what it was like inside those 12-step meetings, you're going to find out right now because we have guests here from Overeaters Anonymous to share with us their experience, strength, and hope. And first up, we have Lindsay. Lindsay, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about what it was like, what it's like now.
What it's like now?
Well, a little about what it's like then and what it's like now.
Back then, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Oh, okay.
And that's who I am. And let's see, what was it like then?
Yeah. Well, when did you notice that you didn't have a normal relationship with food?
Until I got into program, until I started thinking about it.
You didn't realize till you came into recovery?
Really? Yeah.
Okay. But looking back on it now.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely.
When would you say? Were you a little kid?
I could say when I was about, all my life, yeah.
All your life, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
Totally.
Give us some of your early memories, when it comes to
I can think of times
food.
Where's you know how your mom is cooking brunch on Sundays?
Okay.
And she'll send you to the store, to the grocery store to get something.
Okay.
They used to take so long to fix breakfast for, at my home.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that I would go, they would send me to the store and I would be done eat like several different things before, I get back home and then sit there and eat breakfast with everybody else.
Oh, really? So you'd get a couple of snacks, you'd load up on food, and then you'd start.
Oh, yeah, totally, because I wasn't allowed to really have seconds and all that because I was always so big and everyone was so conscious around my home.
So you couldn't eat like you wanted back then?
No.
How big were you as a kid?
God, I was always heavy. I could tell you because I know I went to a couple of different. Like, I was at the Mount Sinai clinical research program when I was about 13.
Okay, so you were, I guess, morbidly obese at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were doing some research on me. Dr. Katz and Dr. Nittles was there at the time. And I was 13, and I think I was 200 pounds then.
Wow.
But I've always had to go to different clothing stores I had to go to different clothing stores to always, to find stuff to fit me. I was never able to go to normal clothing stores.
Were you picked on as a kid? Was it hard being a big kid?
Oh, yeah, always.
Was it? Yeah, I can imagine.
But I was pretty nice, I pretty much got along with mostly everybody, and I kind of brushed it off a lot.
Did you? Yeah. Sure. And were you eating to, kind of cover up those feelings of, to get away from, that kind of loneliness?
Always.
Yeah. What was it like for you back then?
I was just actually telling somebody about this. Like, I was always into sports.
Okay.
And my desire to do what... My desire to be better was... And I just fought over the weight. Like, no matter how much weight I was or... I just wanted to... If you would have told me I can't do something... Like, I aggressively did whatever I can to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want the weight to always be my downfall.
So you wouldn't allow the weight to keep you from doing...
I try not to.
Right.
Obviously, I got depressed many times.
Sure.
I've always been sort of like, it was a front. Like, I was a very happy, jolly guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then always, I was always a front where it's like... I always was, like, always into deep thought and always into, like, I got into a depression mood every once in a while.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even as a little guy, I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah, always, but no one will ever know because I always kept my feelings, especially my special feelings, I always kept it to myself. I really hardly shared it with anybody, or you could probably just tell it on my face, but
right.
For the most part, it was always a front. I never wanted to let anybody know.
So you kept some distance emotionally from most of the people
in
your
life?
Yeah. Yeah. And Well, let's see. I mean, junior high going into high school, what was it like for you then? I mean, you grew up, you said you were 200 pounds at 13 years old?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, 13.
Yeah. What was it like as you continued to develop? I mean, did it get worse?
Well, like I said, my parents, they were so concerned several times, whereas I went to so many different programs.
Was it just from the eating, or was there something like maybe glandular or something wrong?
Well, that was what they were studying. They were trying to do a study on me to see if it was any gland problems, but it wasn't. It was just, they honestly didn't know. I'll be honest with you. They didn't know.
Were you being truthful with them?
They never found anything.
Were you being truthful with them about your food at the time?
I mean, yeah,
like, would you tell them that you would eat before you ate and things like that?
Yeah. To who?
The doctors, to the people that you were working.
Well, no, you were there.
Oh, you were there, yeah.
Yeah, like, you went to the hospital. You stayed there for, like, 3 months.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So they fed you. You was not allowed to leave the building.
Okay, so that's...
So they knew what you ate.
Okay.
Unless some of your friends come up and bring you some Snickers or something.
Did they bring you Snickers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
and cool. He could tell, too, because when they do these glucose, every week.
Oh, they check your blood sugar?
And they check your blood sugar. And yeah. He could tell as soon as Dr. Kath, I love this guy. He was like, he'll come to me. He'd be like, you had some sugar. I know you had something. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I know. Who brought it to you? I'm like, what are you talking about, Dr. Katz? But yeah, he knew. I just thought about that too, because I didn't even realize that, they actually can tell through what you were eating through the blood test.
Sure. And did you lose weight while you were in there?
Yeah, I lost like 75 pounds at one time there.
Wow. And what kind of diet did they have you on?
It was terrible, man. It was 700 calories. It was just terrible. I mean, there's particular turkey that I cannot eat right now because of that.
Really?
From what I remember. Because I went there twice when I was 13, when I was 15. Mm.
And these were extended stays while you were there?
Yeah, the first time was 3 months. The second time was like 6 months.
Okay, from the first day to the second stay, did you gain the weight back?
I gained it back as soon as I hit the streets.
Did you? Yeah. What did you do when you got out after the first time? What was the first thing you did?
It was exciting. I went shopping.
You went shopping for food?
Yeah. No, I went shopping for clothes.
I went shopping for clothes. Okay. So, all right. And then what did you do next?
I got sent to boarding school when I was like in eighth grade.
Okay.
So it was just,
Was it tough maintaining a diet at boarding school?
It was tough, yeah. I mean, I actually worked in the kitchen too. So. Oh.
Okay. So that's kind of tough, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we all had to take turns working in the kitchen, but yeah. The kids, of course, the teasing and the playing the sports, but I do remember, like, going to, like, the day rooms and going to different recreation, we call it the recreation room.
Okay.
And I remember going, buying cookies and potato chips and different sodas, while everybody's playing pool and, different, like, the hockey games and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
This is after dinner,
Right.
I don't know if that was normal. I mean, I don't know if that was normal like any other kid did.
Yeah. It sounds pretty normal. How was that for you? I mean, it's seemingly such a normal thing to be doing as a kid, but yet you really have, this stuff is poison to you.
Like I said, I honestly didn't realize until I got the program and started thinking about my youth and thinking about my young adult age and all that, and that I really realized that I was an addict, and I'm still an addict. I'm an addict. I'm addicted to flour and sugar.
You're addicted to flour and sugar.
Yeah.
Really? Now, did you at the time when you were in the throes of this, did you realize that you didn't have a normal relationship with it? Like, you couldn't stop? Did you know that? Or did you think you had it under control?
I don't think I ever thought I had it in control because there's so many times I started thinking about it, too. I was I remember doing my fourth step. And
your fourth step.
Right. And
what's, what do you mean? Tell us a little bit about the.
Okay. Regarding my fourth step, it's in OA, and you start, you basically have to turn over everything to your sponsor about different things about your life.
Okay, so like a history of
yeah,
of
about
your
the history about your experiences, about everything okay. that you probably don't even want to think about.
Okay, okay.
It's bad stuff.
All right, all the bad stuff.
All
right.
The bad stuff.
All right, cool. And then and you were working on that, and what'd you see?
I started thinking of my history, my past.
Okay.
And the things that you actually had, the things that you did regarding, you know, getting your food. And,
like what? To what lengths did you go to get your food? I mean, you know, what was it like?
You know, like...
stealing, lying?
Everything. All the above.
All the above?
Yeah.
Give me some specifics.
Oh, God. Your mother gives you $5. You take $20 to,
okay.
you know, if, to go out and... You know, have extra lunch for the day.
Okay.
You know, whatever. You know. I mean,
sure.
But yeah. So you just started thinking about. I just started thinking about my history and my past when I was doing my fourth step, and started really realizing that I was really addicted and obnoxious when it came to food, more than everybody else.
Did you say obnoxious?
Yeah.
How so?
Eating the, I remember sitting there at school, watching the television, buying, you know, just came in from town, and buying a box of Frosted Flakes and eating the whole box, watching videos.
Wow.
You know, or, you know, getting a whole pie, pizza pie, eating the whole pizza pie by myself.
Mm.
Oh, I've done that several times.
How large did you get?
I was a total of 400 pounds, a little over 400 pounds.
You were 400 pounds.
Yeah.
You don't look, you know, you don't look that today. You don't look half of that today.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, that's just amazing. And that was all from just abusing sugar and starch?
That was from, you know, I've lost weight several times. You know, I went to different programs. Like I said, my mother, she sent me to a couple of research programs. No, one research program down in Mount Sinai Hospital. I went to that a few times. And then I went to a place called Structure House in North Carolina in Durham.
Okay.
Which is it's a weight loss center. And I went to that pretty much all my life. I went there from the time I was like 17 to I was, I don't know, even to I was 32, I say, 31.
How old are you now?
I'm 38.
You're 38, okay. And you didn't have any surgery. You didn't have that gastric bypass surgery.
No,
this is actually just really. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what's your current weight? Where are you at now?
Between like 190, 188.
Good for you, man. So you lost like what, 200 and how much altogether?
Well, I lost about 240 pounds. And then like in the last, say, week and last month and a half, I put on about 11 pounds of that.
Okay.
And that's because of, I was diagnosed with arthritis in my right knee.
Okay.
And
is that a direct result of carrying that weight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my food plan, the way I had my food plan was set with my cardiovascular and what I do.
Okay.
And I was able to run like three to 4 miles a day. So now I had to rechange my whole food plan.
Because of the running.
Right.
Yeah.
And cut down. So in between that time, it's just... major adjustment that is something I've been working on for the past 7 years.
Well, you look fantastic. I mean, tell me about your health. I mean, what's it like now?
Well, besides my arthritis in my knees, it's fine.
Your heart's in good shape.
My heart's in great shape. My blood pressure is great.
Yeah, because I mean, how tall are you?
5'5".
Are you? Okay, yeah. Because I mean, at 400 pounds, I mean, you just had to be. I mean, I'm just imagining. I can't even see it. You know, like it blows me away to see you here. And as healthy as you look, you know, that's just outstanding. So tell us a little bit about the Fellowship of OA. What did you find when you got there? You spoke about your fourth step. Tell us about what the first meeting you went to was like.
My first meeting was it was different. It was I thought it was kind of weird. I was like, I wasn't sure if it was for me. I don't know. I wasn't really getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, they were talking a lot about spirituality, and I wasn't understanding how spirituality was going to be able to help me with this, besides, you know, giving me a diet,
mm-hmm.
and because I was so used to diets. And then things happened in my life.
Like
you
what?
Know, I went through a nasty divorce,
oh,
and
okay.
My business that I was in Basically, the company I was working for folded. And just a few of those things, like, you know, those part of my things in my life just seemed like it was ending.
Hmm.
And I went to a friend of mine who actually, very special person in my life, came to my house and said, oh, I want to take you to a meeting tonight. And I went. And ever since then, I think it was just that I started realizing, hearing things. My sponsor was actually speaking that night. And what she was saying basically was that, that we are addicted to these foods and that we don't have to, we can live a normal life with this program. And that's what made me really.
So even in the face of all this adversity, this divorce and the business failing and all this other stuff, I mean, you didn't feel it necessary to go and binge.
Well, no, I was stuck in the house for a few days.
Were
and
you?
Yeah. Because it was just kind of like whacked me out.
Yeah.
And I just, after, like I said, after going to my first few meetings, I just realized that I can live in, I guess the biggest thing, it was the ego thing maybe, was to know that I'm not going to ever be normal, but this program, by following this way, is going to help me live a normal life.
Go ahead.
That's what I really wanted more than anything, is to live a normal life.
And do you have some of that today?
Oh, yeah. I don't have to worry about walking anywhere where people stare at me. I don't have to. I can get on a plane seat very comfortably and
things you just take for granted.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I can walk for miles and miles and don't feel exhausted. I can get on the subway and feel cool about it. And, the plane thing was really exciting.
Oh, man. Lindsay, you sound fantastic. You sound fantastic. I mean, this is just really inspirational.
No, seriously, the plane was like...
I can imagine.
Getting on the plane the first time was ridiculous. It was very exciting.
That's
cool, actually
man.
I called from the plane. And I called my mom and said, Mom, I'm actually in the plane, so you cannot believe it. That was a big deal for me.
That's cool, man. Lindsay, thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Cool.
Now, once again, you're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Stepping Out.